them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. They are the type of worshipers that the Father seeks. That word seeks, if you break it down in the Greek, it's he craves it. He wants all of you. He wants every fiber of your being poured into all the words you say. You know, we sing songs like we are your burning ones, but do we really burn inside every fiber of our being for him? Are we practicing religion to soothe our consciences for a couple hours so we can go out there in the week and feel like we've done something for God? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Is that what we're doing? And when we go out and leave here and do things that the world does? Or do we genuinely love him with all our heart, and we are the same when we're outside of church as we are when we're inside the church? Are we the same? He's looking for sameness. He's not looking for religion. He's not looking for just religious practices. The Bible says, if anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James 1:26. So if we don't tame our tongue when we're outside of church, we're gossiping and slandering and talking bad about one another and saying things we ought not to say, he says religion is worthless in the eyes of God. And that means what it says. He says in the next verse of James chapter 1, verse 27, he says religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. And then he describes what it is. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted with the world. It's real easy to be polluted with the world in this wicked and corrupt generation. You folks are so used to looking at all this stuff out there in the world that you don't even realize how wicked it is. God's ready to come and destroy this planet. Wrath of God is going to get poured out on this planet. You're all looking at me and waiting for something to happen. I'm telling you right now that they are doing things that are making God really upset. He's not pleased with the Gentile nations anymore who used to worship God. I believe it was like 4 or 5 years ago already, Newsweek, on the cover of their magazine, Newsweek put something to the degree. It put a cross, and in that cross, the words were something to the level that the United States is no longer a Christian nation. And that's true, because the surveys prove that it's become like a Muslim nation. And some of you are looking at me like, I don't think that's true. But it is. The statistics are true. And the reason that is because people are forgetting about the one and true God who wants your whole heart, who expects purity of heart and morality. He wants us to live a holy life. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Don't be deceived. If we don't live a pure and holy life, it's by our own admission, it's by our own choice, and it's because we don't truly want Jesus. Because Jesus is pure. The Bible says, this is the message we heard from him, that God is light. Light. In him there's no darkness at all. None. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now God doesn't want us to go to hell. But if we refuse, if we make up excuses and say, I can't stop sinning, I can't, and you allow the devil to sit over your shoulder and tell you, you can't do it, and you believe him instead of believing God, that he's already set us free from sin in Christ, we can live a holy life. If you believe the devil's lie as he screams over your shoulder saying, you can't do it. You're stuck in this. This is who you are. If you believe his lie instead of believing God, then you are deceived and you're following Satan blindly to hell. And you're never going to get out of that place. You're going to burn forever, a million years from now. You're going to be burning in such a torment that you can't even put it into words. It's a place where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. Some of you need to get after your family members that are living in sin. If you love them, you'll do something to reach them. If you love them, you yourselves will stop living in sin so that you can be an example to them and God can reveal things to you and give you the wisdom necessary from heaven for you to be able to reach them instead of just arguing with them. Amen. He'll give you the wisdom necessary. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we just thank you for this time to assemble together in your name. We thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit working on every heart. And Father, if there be anyone here today that's not truly living for you, I pray, Father, that you would shake them over the gates of hell, bring them supernatural experiences, whatever it takes, Father. I pray they'd be miserable in everything they do until they find the only thing that satisfies, which is you, Jesus. Pray you to have your way in the people's hearts today, Lord. And Father, I pray that people would take these words seriously and take the things of God seriously. Lord, this is not a game. This is not practicing religion. This is the only truth, and it is reality. Everything else is a lie, Lord. Everything we see that does not line up with your word is a lie. But you are true. And we thank you that we can understand these truths by your Spirit. We thank you for your anointing and giving the people eyes to see and ears to hear. We humble ourselves, Lord, and we receive correction so that we can grow and mature in you. We thank you for your presence, and we bind every hindrance to this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just want to talk to you about a couple things here. Has anybody ever heard of CERN? Wave at me if you've heard of CERN. Doesn't surprise me that you don't know that one of the biggest things that's going on the planet right now you don't even know about. Nobody in the room has heard of CERN. Well, let me tell you what CERN is. CERN is a 17-mile long... Michelle, are you recording? You got it up here? That's it? It's a 17-mile long tube that's 300 feet under the ground. 17 miles long. It's something like 27 meters around. And let me describe just a little bit about what their website says that it is. This is what their website says. The accelerator complex at CERN is a succession of machines that accelerate particles to increasingly higher energies. Each machine boosts the energy of a beam of particles before injecting the beam into the next machine in the sequence. And this is what it is. It says, in the Large Hadron Collider, LHC they call it. It's a Large Hadron Collider. The last element in this chain, particle beams are accelerated to the record energy of 4 TeV per beam. Most of the other accelerators in the chain have their own experimental halls where beams are used for experiments at lower energies. The proton source is a simple bottle of hydrogen gas. An electron field is used to strip hydrogen atoms of their electrons to yield protons. The first LINAC number 2, which is the name of it, the first accelerator in the chain, accelerates the protons to an energy of 50 MeV. The beam is then injected into the proton synchrotron booster, which accelerates the protons to 1.4 GeV. Followed by the proton synchrotron. It's a big words here. PS, they call it. Which pushes the beam to 25 GeV. Protons are then sent to the super proton synchrotron, SPS, where they are accelerated to 450 GeV. The protons are finally transferred to the two beams of the LHC. That's a Large Hadron Collider. Some of you look at me, why is this important? You're going to find out in just a moment. The beam in one pipe circulates clockwise, while the beam in the other pipe circulates anti-clockwise. It takes 4 minutes and 20 seconds to fill each LEC ring and 20 minutes for the protons to reach their maximum energy of 4 TeV, whatever that is. Beams circulate for many hours inside the LHC. Beams pipes under normal operating conditions. the two beams are brought into collision inside four detectors. And this is where I'm going to stop. It goes on. So what this thing actually does, I watched the video, is it's doing what we just described here, but it speeds these different protons, electrons, and neutrons, whatever they are, it speeds them up to it's 99.9% of the speed of light. 99.9%. You know how fast the speed of light. It speeds them up that fast. And it causes these things to happen inside of it. And what they're attempting to do is create the what they call the Big Bang. The Big Bang. They're trying to do what God did when He spoke the earth into existence. They're trying to prove that some Big Bang created the universe. Some Big Bang. Now, what you need to understand about this is some of the most intelligent minds in the land. Who's the guy? He's got the disease. He's in the wheelchair. Does anybody recall his name? Could he scream it at me? Very intelligent man. He created the internet, I believe, or something like that. Apple Computers, is it? What's his name? Somebody's got to help me out. I bind the enemy in Jesus' name. It'll come to you. Scream it out when you get it. This man and another intelligent mind, I don't recall his name either, but I know who these guys are. I know that they're very intelligent minds. They're respected intelligent minds. Their IQs are off the chart. You got it? Their IQs are off the chart. In fact, this man, the first man I'm attempting to get his name, it'll come to me. This man, just listen up here now, because you don't know his name. None of you know his name, so forget about it. This man has been compared to Einstein. And he says that if they do what they are attempting to do inside this thing, that there is a great chance that they will destroy the entire universe. And I'm not joking. They are attempting to do something that could destroy not just the planet, but the entire universe. And there is also, and the people have CERN themselves, I watched the video, they said that there's a chance, they know that there is a chance that it could create a black hole beneath this 17-mile long thing. It could create a black hole that would go straight through to the other side of the earth. Possibly destroy humanity. And they're just spinning. They've done this multiple times. I'm shocked. This is over in Switzerland. I'm shocked that nobody's ever heard of this. This is a huge deal. They spent billions and billions of dollars on this thing. And what they're trying to do is find out, according to their website, they're trying to find the mysteries of our existence. In other words, how creation began. Where did we come from? Where did we come from? And these same scientific minds who are trying to prove there is no God are very religious. And I'll tell you why. They put that God idol, Shiva, she's called. She's got all these arms. It's the God of destruction. It's the Indian God of destruction is what she is. And they put this idol in front of CERN. And I want to tell you something else you may not realize about CERN, but their symbol, and I'm not lying to you, you can look it up, is 666. Serious business. They're of the devil. And they're not afraid to flaunt it either, because CERN's video, if you go back and watch the video, they all did, they had, I don't know, maybe 6-7 men and women with hard hats on walking along the side of this large hydrogen or large Hadron Collider or whatever it is, and they were doing their Shiva dance. Not only that, but in their video, they show a circle somewhere out in the middle of the salt flats, it looks like, where there's nothing. A circle with one of the people doing this weird Shiva dance and some black figure
Some black figure that it doesn't show the face of comes up and you can see him sneak behind this guy. And then in the next frame, it shows them again doing their dance with that same black figure's hand, wooing him backwards, and it looks like he wants to yield. What that is the devil. They're in cohorts with the devil. And they're not even afraid to do it right in front of your eyes and then lie to you and say, that's not what it is. Let me tell you something. We're going to talk a little about truth today. People like to hear lies, but they don't want to hear the truth anymore. So that's what we're going to talk about. Here's another interesting thing. So they're trying to prove that God doesn't exist. Now they just found, according to NASA, liquid water is found on Mars. And it says right here, this is what they say about it, it confirms the next step closer to finding Martian life. That's aliens. Aliens. Now Pastor Dad's not afraid to talk about aliens because there's no such thing as aliens. Whatever they find on Mars, and they've already got pictures of them, you can find it. Whatever they find out there is not aliens. They are called fallen angels. They are demonic. Amen. They are of the devil. Yes. And the reason we're going to start talking more and more about truth is because of the great deception that Satan is trying to infiltrate not only the world with, but also the church. The great deception, the great lie. He has already gained control over the majority of the social media to the level of infiltrating our schools by pulling God out and pushing evolution in. Let me tell you something about evolution. There is not one fact, not even one fact, not one fact to prove evolution. Which means to me that it is a belief, which also means that evolution or Darwinism is a religion. It's a false religion that they're pushing into your children's classrooms. Right in front of you. And nobody stood up and fought against it. In fact, they're all for it. So they put, I mean, that was in the classrooms and I was in school. And how much more is it now? How much more is it now? So they're, what they're doing is lying to your children. They're lying. Straight up lies. Every word about evolution is all a lie. There's not any truth to any of it. It's all a bunch of lies. Every bit of it. Amen. Your mind may even try to think, well, some of it seems true. It doesn't matter. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it leads to death, the Bible says. He calls it science falsely so-called, is what he calls it. Science falsely so-called, which some have professed, and in so doing, they've wandered from the faith. We're supposed to avoid that stuff. Amen. So they're not only are they from one angle, they're trying to prove that a Big Bang created the universe is basically what they're attempting to prove, directly or indirectly. They're also trying to prove that Martian life is out there. They're trying to find all the ancient mysteries to where our existence truly came from. They're trying to prove all these things. But it's really no mystery at all. Amen. If you want to believe the truth, it's no mystery. If you want to believe the lie, it will forever be a mystery in your mind and you will never know where existence came from. Amen. We don't want to believe a lie. So today we're going to talk about the truth, what the truth really is. And I'm going to tell you the truth, and only the truth. You know, I'm telling you right now before it happens, they're gonna claim they found alien life. That's the next thing. It's just a short while. They're gonna tell you, okay? So when they say that, I want you to look up here right now, and look at this guy standing up here, and remember my face. I'm telling you, there are no aliens. You don't have to worry about it. You can laugh at it and say they've lost their minds. They're demons. They are demonic spirits. The Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. An angel of light. He comes in the form of deception. And what he's trying to do is deceive the people to get their attention off the truth, which is God. And he's going to do it from many angles. We know on September 28th, I believe it was, September 27th or 28th, the day of the last blood moon, the Pope met together in New York for a final round at a meeting in New York called Ground Zero. Ground Zero. It was a meeting of multiple religions. Multiple religions meeting together. One of them being Catholicism in the stead of Christianity. At least that's what they say. Now, my Bible says and your Bible says that we're not even supposed to have the names of these other gods on our lips. And he says, it also says in I believe it's 2 John, around verse 10 or 11, he says that anybody who says Godspeed, Godspeed, in other words, God bless you in what you're doing, to anyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ is a partaker of their wicked work. You just condemned yourself just like they are condemned. You're partaking of that now. You're a partaker of their wicked work. You need to repent of that. Now the Pope not only got up there and stood on the stage with, I believe it was six other religions, and I read them to you. He not only stood up there, but they performed a religious service together. A religious service. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to form a one world religion. We'll talk a little bit about this. It has something to do with the Antichrist, but it is not the Antichrist kingdom. Not even close. And you're going to want to think it is because most of the church world believes that the Antichrist is going to create a one world religion. But the reality of the matter is the Antichrist is going to create a one person religion where he is the object of worship alone. No other religions will be involved. He will be the object of worship, according to your Bible, if you want to believe what God said. Amen. And what you're seeing happen now, yes, there is a one world religion forming, and it will form. It's forming very quickly, right in front of you. If any of you aren't watching the news, you should be checking out what's going on around there. They had their concert, Tomorrowland. And they're trying to push their homosexual agenda, their perverseness, their drug culture, and their mixed form of what they call love and acceptance all together into one thing. And their agenda is Satan's agenda, which is deceive everyone away from Jesus Christ. It's complete deception. It all seems to be love and unity. It is acceptance. I'll give it that. It's accepting. But it's accepting perverse, perverted wickedness, and mixing it with what they call love. And as a result, every one of those people, if they don't repent and accept Jesus as their Lord, they're all going to hell. Every one of them. All of them. Unless they repent. And God doesn't want any one of them to go there. He's blindly leading. It's a blind leading the blind. So what you're seeing is, yes, 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 it is inevitable that they're forming a one world religion where every faith comes together and we all worship the same God, they say, but they don't worship the same God. Because the only religion out there that worships Jesus Christ is true Christianity. And if they don't worship Jesus Christ, and none of the other religions do, not any of them, they acknowledge Jesus, they say he's a prophet, they say he's a good man, they say his teachings are good, but they do not believe he was the Son of God. So as a result, all of those other religions are false religions. They are Satan's counterfeit of deception. And they do not worship the same God because Jesus is God. Amen. Does that make sense? If they don't worship Jesus as God, then they are not worshiping the same God. They're worshiping some other false God. Amen. And they're trying to convince the masses that we all worship the same God. And this is all about love. And God is love, right? Mm-hmm. God is love. And they say that we want to have acceptance and God is accepting. But one thing that they forgot about God is just. And he can't, not only can he not tolerate sin, but he can have no fellowship. He said, There is no fellowship between light and darkness. I'll quote the scripture again. You said, this is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, who? God. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's holy living. Walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If you don't think we're in the end times, you need to wake up. We're not only in the end times. The Apostle Paul said, children, this is the last hour. That was 2,000 years ago. We are in the last, not minutes anymore, we're in the last seconds of the last hour, and the rapture is about to happen any second. And there's a lot of things unfolding very, very quickly around the world. While the Pope was worshiping with these other religions, the leader of the Roman government was part of the opening of a 10,000-person religious mosque of some other religion. 10,000 at the same time. All these things. They found water on Mars. The blood moon. All this stuff happened basically on the same day. Same time. Everything's unfolding very quickly. And at the same time, they had that, their big wicked concert, I'll call it. It's wicked. It's completely deceptive. They play a movie with it. It's very deceptive. It's all about light. And it's all about love. And it's all about being together as one. But they do not acknowledge Jesus. And they're together as one, all right. One heart and one mind with Satan. And the reason it is because they are deceived. They're believing the lie. We don't want to believe the lie. So if you'll open up your Bible, if you have your Bible with you, and I'll give you some light. To 2 Thessalonians. I got a lot of things I'd like to show you. And we're going to be in chapter 2. Now, we know that the Antichrist is coming. But even now, in 1 John, he says, even now many Antichrists have come. That was over 2,000 years ago. Many Antichrists have come. But the Antichrist spirit is any other religion that does not worship Jesus as God. They are the Antichrist, every one of them. All those other religions, everyone you can think of, if they're not Christian, they are the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. And just to deceive you and try to get you to believe that they're okay, they'll tell you, we love Jesus, we believe in Jesus, but you ask enough questions, they'll tell you, we believe he was a prophet similar to Moses as a prophet. That's what they all say, every time I talk to them. They believe he was a good man, they may even practice his principles, but if you ask them if they believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he lived a sinless life, and he died for the sins of man, they'll say, no, we don't believe that. They don't believe that. Which means that they are the spirit of the Antichrist. Because the Christ is the Son of God. That's what they are. That's what the Bible says here. Now, in this chapter, he's talking about the coming of the Antichrist, but we're not going to get in that too much today. But I want you to see something here in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. The coming of the lawless one is the Antichrist himself. It will be in accordance with the work of Satan. Everyone say Satan.
Satan.
The work of Satan. The work of Satan. Displayed in all kinds of counterfeit. Everyone say counterfeit.
Counterfeit.
Now, we'll just talk about this for a moment. He told me to slow down and just take my time with this. We're probably going to make this into a series. So we need to know about truth. When they make those, when they make those paper dollars, those $100 bills, $20 bills, and so on and so forth, and they make a counterfeit, by the untrained eye, you don't know that thing's a counterfeit. You, in fact, I bet some of you have used some of that money. It came from the bank you used and didn't even know it until they come up with these new systems where they got the lights and the water, and now it's much easier to detect a counterfeit by those who are trained to be able to discern what a counterfeit is. But to those of us who are not, some of them may have slipped through your hands in the past. You didn't even know it. Come right into your hands. Somebody gave it to you and you went and bought something with it and that person didn't know it because they're real good counterfeits they make of money. Not so much anymore with the technology. Now they're not going to get away with it. So a counterfeit's something that's not easily detected or not easily recognized. Would you agree? Unless you're trained or you're sensitive or you're on guard looking for the counterfeit. Well, Satan has counterfeits. And all the other religions in the world outside of Christianity, they're all counterfeit religions. Every single one of them. There's only one God. And His Son is Jesus Christ, God's Son. There's only one way to God. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God's wrath remains on him. So there's only one God. Pastor Dan, you're going to get some persecution from this. You're going to throw up some. I know it. I don't care. Don't care. Now, I'm not going to stop telling you the truth. This is what the truth is. They're not going to like, people aren't going to like that. They're going to, I don't care. I know they're not going to like it. They didn't like any of the men of God, the seers and the prophets and the Old Testament saints that preached truth. They didn't like any of them. They killed most of them. Don't care. God is real. Jesus is real. Doesn't make any difference. They ain't taking my life from me unless I lay it down. And if I choose to, I'll have a greater reward. What if God isn't real? God is real. You shouldn't even let questions like that get in your mind. If I had the question that God isn't real jump in my mind, I'd jump up on this chair right now and I'd fight the devil for about 10 minutes and preach the Word of God at him. Why? Because that's a satanic, demonic force trying to drag you to hell, trying to get you to doubt that God is real. The Bible says in Psalms 14:1 that the fool says in his heart there is no God. It's foolish. All creation proclaims that God is real. The only reason people don't want to believe that He is real is because their sin blinds them and they want to live in darkness and the darkness is blinding and consuming them. Satan's blinding their minds because they don't believe, which is a terrible sin. Now he says here, the coming of the lawless son will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. So Satan does miracles. Absolutely he does miracles. I've seen him do it. There's one man called John of God, they call him. I watched him do miracles. The people that are sick in this other area of the world, he takes a forceps and jams that thing so hard up their nose, you think their whole face is going to rip off. Jams it up there, and they let him do it. No pain. Don't feel any pain. And they come out healed. What is that? It's demonic. Satan's doing that. God just has us, true Christians, lay hands. They jam something up their nose. Now, from the law of physics and from a natural standpoint, anybody who's watched this happen, and I watched the video on it, they say that technically, that should, whatever that guy just did right there, they should have fell over dead because it went up into their brain. That's what they say. Well, it's a counterfeit miracle. Nobody dies. They get healed. Why? To deceive people. So they put their faith in this man instead of the true God who's Jesus. Displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. One of those counterfeit things that Satan's going to do is he's going to start appearing to people as aliens. Some of you thinking, Pastor Dan, you've gone way over. I'm telling you right now, when it happens, you'll finally believe me. You may think I'm crazy now. But when he starts appearing, or these fallen angels start appearing to men in the form of aliens, you'll believe that I must have knew something about it. Because it's going to happen. That's one of the counterfeit things he does to try to deceive people. It's about to start happening. There's many things that are about to start happening. Hopefully we get to see some of them before we get raptured out of here. Now, he says in counterfeit signs, miracles, signs and wonders, and every sort of evil. He calls it evil. That John of God, what he does is evil. All evil. That deceives, everyone say deceives. Those who are perishing. It deceives them. It deceives them. Deceives. Now he says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he said, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Subtlety, subtlety, subtlety. That means it's not easy to detect. Subtlety, he said, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said about false apostles, he said in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workmen, deceitful workmen, deceitful workmen, deceitful workmen, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, whose? Satan's ministers, transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, they ain't getting away with nothing. God sees every thought. In fact, there's a much stricter judgment for us teachers, in particular false teachers. They are going to have, Jesus said, such men will be punished most severely. About hypocrites. Hirelings, they do it for money. Now, he says, these counterfeit miracle signs and wonders and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. That means it shouldn't deceive us who are not perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So because they refuse to love the truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Amen. The things of God is the truth. He calls the church, he says over there in 1 Timothy 3:15, he says the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth, the church of the living God. The pillar and foundation of the truth. The truth is the church. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said that in John 17, he said, thy word is truth. So because they refuse to believe that about Jesus, they refuse to believe about the word of God, they refuse to believe about the true church of God, it says right here that God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so all be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Amen. They haven't believed the truth, they haven't loved the truth, they didn't want to hear the truth, but they did want to, they wanted to hear something else, which wasn't truth. I told you the best lie would be 99.9% true, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it still be a lie? That's the power of deception. You mix a whole lot of truth with a lie, and it's still a lie, and it'll still send you to hell. So I said, Satan creates religions. What he does is he plays on people's hearts. He describes to them the new nature that we have when we're born again, the love of God. It's in our hearts. He describes it to them. He describes the good works and the good deeds and the nice things that we do for people that stem from that goodness of heart, that stem from the love of God in our hearts. He describes it to them. He paints them a picture of this and then tells them, if you, after about 1,000 lifetimes, as many grains of sand on the seashore, if you will... live that many lifetimes, you'll somehow enter into nirvana and you might possibly be saved by doing good works. Now, our Bible says we're not saved by our works. Amen. Doesn't matter. We're commanded to do good works. Amen. Faith without works is dead. We need to have corresponding actions to our faith. But it doesn't matter. If you're a pastor for 75 years and get 1 million people saved, it doesn't matter. That does not get you born again. Has nothing to do with your salvation. Has nothing to do with it. It has to do with your reward. Your salvation has to do solely with the fact that you've turned from a lifestyle of sin and confessed Jesus as Lord. His sin was laid upon your, Your sin was laid upon Jesus. He paid the penalty for your sins. Amen. That's the only way you're going to get saved. And after that, we can do all the good works we want. We're supposed to be doing them. But that has nothing to do with your salvation. Amen. It has to do with maintaining your salvation, having corresponding actions. But it has nothing to do with you actually being saved. Nothing at all. You being saved has to do with faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. That's the only thing. Many is called in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. In other words, that you believe that Jesus died as your substitute. He went to hell and paid the penalty for your sins. And He was resurrected. And you are, if you put your faith in Him, it's just the same as you dying with Him to sin and resurrected to a new life that we might bear fruit for God. According to Romans chapter 6. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There's no way to the Father except through Him. So He says right here, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. So that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. I'm going to pray for you right now because anointing just fell on me. I can't teach anymore. Let's just pray right now. Father, we bind the enemy and every hindrance in Jesus' name. We thank You for Your presence in this place. We glorify You and exalt You, Jesus. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our defender, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. You're the only way. Show us what You'd have us to do, Lord. We glorify You and exalt You, Lord. We magnify You and bless You, Jesus. We magnify You and bless You, Jesus. Now, I'm just going to follow what the Holy Spirit said inside of me, and I don't know which one of you this is, but I'm going to say it, and it's going to speak to one of you. And I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But one of you, when you were a child, somebody did some things to you. And as a result of that, you've never really shared this with anybody. In fact, I don't think you've ever talked about it. They did some things to you when you were a child and you never talked about it and you lost trust in man. You've lost trust in people. It's difficult for you to maintain any kind of close relationship with people. It's difficult for you to maintain a close relationship with people as a result of what they did to you. And this is what the Lord says about it. He says, I am the Lord your God who loved you and who created you. For I knew you before you were knit together tightly in the womb. And I have been with you and I have not forsaken you. So release the resentment, release the unforgiveness in your heart and allow me to work in you. For I've called you. And I'm calling to you in this hour to draw near to me, to turn from all things that displease me, and to surrender your life for me. For I am the king. I am the rider on the white horse. I am your knight in shining armor, and there's no one like me. For I am God, and there is no other. And I know you. I know your thoughts from afar off. And I have enabled you to stand for this hour that you might be called by my name and humble yourself to receive what I have freely given you. If you will only call upon me, if you will only receive from me, for I love you and I have not done any evil against you. For there in me there is no darkness at all. There is only light. There is only life. There is only love in me for those who are willing to hear, there is only love in me, says the Lord. You know, sometimes when people do things to us in our past, it's difficult for us to let go because the feelings are so strong. And it becomes difficult for us to not only have a close relationship with people, but to even fathom a relationship with God, especially if a male figure or a father is the one who did this to us. It becomes very difficult because God is, we call God the Father. And if the only father figure in your life was abusive or verbally abusive or sexually abusive, it becomes very difficult for us to draw near to someone who calls himself Father. But let me tell you something about God the Father. He's not like that. God is love. God is pure. He expects holiness from us, but he is the most compassionate, gentle, loving person, so much so he doesn't force himself on anybody. He allows us to choose if we want to serve him. God's love is higher than all the heavens. He's exalted above all the heavens. Paul prayed a prayer for us so we might know the breadth, length, depth, and height, to perceive and understand the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge. We can't even understand it with our minds. It's so great. We're not going to get anywhere close to get through this message today. We're just going to follow what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But I do want you to know that the Bible, if you want to know where God is created, and I've got about probably close to 100 scriptures I want to give to you about this. So make sure you come to the next services to get this information. This is very important. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says without faith, it takes faith to believe in something you cannot see. You believe that the money's in your bank account, you've never seen it. You make transactions on it with credit cards, with checks. You never see the money, but you believe the money is there. So you do have faith. God is there. The Bible says he sends rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills our hearts with joy. It says that he gives life and breath to every creature. Your next breath comes from him. Somebody will say, if there's a God, why is there so much evil in the world? Because of the devil. Let me ask you a question. If there is no God, why is there so much good in the world? Think about that. If there's no God, why is there so much good in the world? You're not right now being tortured. You're not right now burning in fire. You're not right now suffering because you can't even barely breathe. None of those things are happening to you, which means that there is a lot of good. We just need to open up our eyes to recognize it. There's a lot of evil. But people don't realize is hell is the absence of God. For those that don't want God in their lives, it's not that God doesn't take any pleasure in tormenting people. It says he doesn't take any pleasure even in the death of the wicked. But if people absolutely refuse to obey him and they don't want him in their life, they don't want his ways, they don't want him, he's created a place for them where they can go where God is not. And that's why there's so much torment, because all the pleasure, all the sustaining of not experiencing torment and all that, it's because you're in God right now. You're in him. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. And people will say things like, well, I'm a good person. Why doesn't God just let me into heaven without Jesus? Why doesn't he just let me in? Well, let me give you an analogy the best I can. If the richest person on the earth was in his big rich house, he was in there, and at the end of your life, living for yourself, doing whatever you wanted, you came and knocked on that rich person's door, knock, 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 and said, let me in, I want to become part of your family. He said, I don't know you. You say, I'm a good person. I'm the best person on the face of the earth. I did this, that, and the other. He said, I don't know you. I'm not going to let you into my house. You're not my family. The reason he cannot let you into heaven at the end of your life because you're a good person is because there's no relationship. You've never had a relationship with him. We can start that relationship today. God is love, but he's also just. He has to judge sin. And we can turn from it. It's a choice. I don't live in sin. Don't do it. You try to tell me you never make a mistake? Sure, make a mistake. Not the type of mistakes you're thinking, though. I don't live in deliberate sin. I don't do any of that stuff. All that stuff listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says people go to hell over. I don't do any of it. None of it. We don't do that stuff anymore. Most of my mistakes are from, you know, God asking you to do something and then you realize later that you should have done it and you missed God and you see like, man, I should have done that. I'm sorry, Lord. That's the type of mistakes I'm talking about. We can live a holy life. It's a choice to choose to follow him. It's a choice. We can do it. You can do it. The Bible, you can't do it unless you're saved, though. Jesus is the beginning. He comes in and takes that wicked nature that wants to sin. That's all you do when you're not born again. It's all you want to do is evil. He can replace that with his nature, which is love, which empowers you to live righteously and to love, treat people the way you want to be treated. And when you treat people the way you want to be treated, you will tell them the truth. You tell them the truth, even if it offends them. That's love. Love tells the truth. These other false preachers out there, they don't care about you. If they're not telling you the truth and they're watering it down or distorting the truth, it's because they don't care about you. They just want your attendance and they want your money. According to Jesus, according to the Apostle Peter, according to Jude. All the apostles describe, they're hirelings. Jesus himself calls them hirelings. Hirelings. They do it for money. They're not watching over your souls. They're watching over your pocketbook. Now, God wants your money. He wants your tithes and offerings, but that's not what I want from you. I want your obedience to God. Amen. I want your obedience. I want you to wholeheartedly serve him. I want to make a disciple out of you so you can make disciples out of someone else. Amen. I think he wants to say something here. Father, in the name of Jesus. For I am the only way, and I am the only truth, and I am the only life. For I am your life, and I am light. So walk in the light as I am in the light, and we will have fellowship with one another. But no one recognizes that I'm the only way to the Father. So be confident and know that I am in me, I am in you, and you are in me. Be confident and know that as you walk with me, you will see that I will become real to you. For it's those who step out by faith, those who step out and walk on the water with nothing tangible that they can see, whom I reveal myself to. For there are many in the world waiting for me to reveal myself to them so that they can believe. But blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Blessed are those who love me, though they have not seen, though they have not seen me manifest before their physical eyes. Blessed are those who walk by faith and not by sight. So we fix our eyes on what not is seen, but on what is not seen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So walk in me. Walk in the spirit of faith. Proclaim that I am your Lord. Proclaim that you are saved by grace. Stand up boldly for the only truth that is in this life. Resist the enemy aggressively. Resist all thoughts of doubt and everything contrary to my word. Cast down every thought and every imagination that does not line up with my word. And stand up for the truth. For my word is truth, and it's my word within those who believe that abides in you, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.